A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We've always worried robots might one day take over the world. Well, now a restaurant in Tarramurra is taking the first step.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and joining me, as always...
It's Ben Vanel here. We're doing another episode of Filthy Casuals. It's similar to the previous one, but there's a few small changes that maybe make it a little bit not as good.
You can listen to this in fidelity mode or performance mode.
Mm-hmm.
Performance mode is twice, I guess, two times speed.
Yeah.
But you don't get as much clarity.
We're really performing in that one.
Fidelity mode, I will enunciate a lot more clearly make all the details clear and apparent.
You can hear the jackhammer perfectly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe the aircon.
Our friend Timothy Clark, who listened to the episode last week where we had the jackhammer at my place.
Yeah.
And you know how I was like, come on, boys, no one's going to be able to hear the jackhammer.
Loud and clear.
Very loud.
People can hear the jackhammer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good shit.
Aircon.
Yeah.
And the movie Con Air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just swapped.
Oh my God.
Is this a comedy bit?
No.
I was today years old when I realized that Con Air is air con backwards. So if you're watching the film Con Air
and you watch it in reverse
and you've got got the air con, you're having the ultimate
surround
Con Air air con experience.
Air con Con Air.
Yeah.
Con Air air con. Air con Air con.
2.1. You got aircon, Con Air, and you're the one, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if
anyway,
anyone...
Sorry, I've been unable to get past thoughts lately.
Yeah.
I've got to get them out, and then I could go, oh.
Lately?
Yeah, like the last 30-odd years.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. It's like you've got the grid in your head, and you're like, that's something. That's
right.
A joke. That could be something.
It's not even that.
I can't even put it into order to get out.
It's like a paper jam.
Right.
And like to get the next thing out, I have to print that thing still. There's still a print job loaded up on the printer.
You know
and
what
it's
it got is?
To bring that shit out before it can do your document, which is good. Hello, my name's Adam Knox.
It's Wordle. You've got three in the right spot and you're just looking at what's left and you're like, there's no words that exist that are that. There's just nothing. It's not
tacit.
Possible.
Trove.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast, boys. Thanks for coming.
It's so good to be here.
Hey, thank you for having us at Knox Towers.
And I disagree with the insinuation about Horizon. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
For once, it's exciting to be...
I was talking about Street Fighter VI.
It's exciting to be on the opposite side to what you and I normally are with especially open world games.
Yeah, it's odd.
Yeah.
It's very odd.
So I would love to dig down and find out what exactly it is about this one that swaps those things.
Mm.
And we'll get into that later in the show.
Yeah.
But I prefer to rappel down.
You do that. It's scaring the shit out of me how we've been playing Horizon Forbidden West.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The way that Aloy fucking just leaps off of a cliff.
Backwards,
and then chucks up the hook to rappel down something is so reckless.
You think it's like in Assassin's Creed when you press circle and you just jump off the top of a giant building accidentally.
Yeah.
Like, oh no. I've got to do this whole fucking quest again.
It's so scary because she's the only person in the world who can save the world.
Mm.
She should be attaching that thing so carefully to every rock face.
She should ideally have a huge like army around her at all times protecting her.
She should be asking for more help.
Yeah.
Not less. God. Her solo personality is sure causing friction in the plot of this game.
Mm.
But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
For now. Well, you know what? You could be, if you're into the world of Horizon, you're not perhaps loving Forbidden West. In a little while, you'll be able to experience a VR simulation of the world of Horizon.
That's right.
Probably. They already announce that?
Yeah, it's called Jungle Time or something.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Horizon Jungle Time.
Jungle Time.
Horizon Robotic Hungry Hippos.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we got our first look today at the, well, not just us, the world in general. Yep.
We got a special sneak peek 11 seconds before the rest of the world found out.
If you checked your email.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had my notifications on and ding, here's Eliza from PlayStation.
Yep.
Media release.
Uh-huh.
And this could be anything from new tech to a UFC event that's airing that I don't care about, that Sony are emailing me about for some reason.
The headset and those controllers, which are the biggest change. Like, the headset looks, if you've not seen it, pretty much like an Oculus Quest, or similar to the first PSVR. A little more rounded, a little more like modern looking.
It's a little less cable.
A little less cable.
Yeah.
Still got a cable, though.
Cable, as opposed to the like three that were in the other one.
And I don't believe they've said anything about a separate processor box and all that sort of extra shit that you had to do with the first generation.
The pass through HDMI box.
I think you just plug a cord into your PS5.
That would be great.
It's like a heavy duty USB-C. Sort of like your Oculus Rift would have.
Yes, they've got like fiber cables in them, and so it can. It's a very quick, like a Thunderbolt or something like that. Some name that's like of a Beast Wars Transformer.
Firewire?
Yeah, it's Firewire. It's not going to work well, but it is made of Firewire. You put your 3.5-inch floppy disk into the PS5, and it's one cable to the headset, which has like some improvements, like a little rumble motor in there.
That's right.
Which... It seems like in practice is going to feel awful.
Yeah.
I understand the appeal of like, hey, you know, we got to be innovating and put new interesting tech in. And this is, you know, the haptic feedback stuff's been popular. But it's like, yeah, I don't know that I want something that's on my brain just fucking rattling away while I'm jacked in.
I had the exact same response. Instinctively, I just think like that's going to make me feel sick or a headache or something.
The new kind of generation of rumble motors that controllers have in them with that very light sort of Joy-Con or PS5 controller, the HD rumble, as we've all been calling it for the past 5 years.
Yes.
Yep.
Haptic.
Haptic feedback.
Mm-hmm.
I changed the word from haptic. It sounds dumb. That's my feedback. Bye.
Tomorrow's word will be haptic.
Yeah. Ooh.
That we would be dead on.
If you had one, like just those little motors in there to make you just sort of, that do the same thing as in the PS5 controller, which is like almost emulate the audio that is going on. I think that's how the rumble generally works with that.
I find the PS5 one to not be very subtle, though. Like, I don't. It's not very, like, the lightest it goes is when there is raindrops in Returnal.
Yeah.
And that's even, like, is someone shooting me? Like, I don't find it that, subtle.
Fair enough. So I'm sure that'll be something you'll be able to turn off in, like,
Yeah, absolutely.
I find the gap between, like, the kind of haptic feedback stuff adding to immersion and breaking it is so, like, because, like you're saying, bit of raindrops, bit of light, deft touch. Like, the Astrobot demo thing did it really well. It's like, this is very immersive. But then if it's, like, a big explosion and it's just kicking off and you can just physically hear this little, and it's like, you just become aware, it's like, oh, that's like a little motor in there.
Right.
Like, it just completely takes you out of it.
I've had moments with the Switch ones as well where, like, when they go hard, they go like this little buzz, like you're saying.
Yep.
And it really makes me go like, oh, I'm holding a toy.
Absolutely.
I'm sitting here being a baby.
Yes. I turned mine off on my Switch for in handheld mode because it just, it's just that. It shakes the whole thing. And
that's
it's
how
just,
adults do it. Yep. Denial.
Yep.
You block off any of the negative feelings.
Yeah. Now it's not a toy.
Now
it's
you're a man.
Tech.
It's a gadget.
Yep. I read the whole kind of blog post of the PSVR2 where they talk.
Oh,
to
did
the,
you? Well, then repeat it verbatim.
Okay.
Yeah.
Name
what's your
three
favorite
of its
paragraph?
Albums.
But I didn't read it, so I just looked at the pictures. I didn't know there was a blog post. So
well, it's just the designer talking about the, you know, the inspiration of the new design and how they were, you know, they were trying to make it look uniform to the PS5, and they want it to be a thing that'll kind of still look aesthetically pleasing, kind of sitting on your TV cabinet, and just kind of all this stuff where you just go, mate, drop the act. You've looked at the Oculus and gone, that's the way to do it.
Yes.
It's like, let's find it. Even the controllers, he's like, oh, you know, they're rounded to kind of to sort of mirror the idea that when you're in VR, the whole world is around you. It's like, yeah, the Oculus ones are rounded.
And even saying like, yeah, we want it to look aesthetically pleasing on your cabinet. Well, it looks like the Mighty Ducks logo. You know what I mean? Like, it still looks, everything looks dumb.
Honestly, the Oculus, the Oculus Quest 2 specifically, I think, is the only piece of gaming tech that I do think looks good sitting on your cabinet.
I agree.
Because it's wireless, it's pretty minimal, even the controllers are okay, but I do think the PSVR 2 still looks like a nice expensive toy.
I think it looks good.
It looks better than the old one. Not that that's saying heaps, but just going like, we want it to look aesthetically pleasing while it's sitting next to this thing that looks like a fucking bar fridge. Even though I like the design of the PS5, it's like, yeah, it's huge. Like, you weren't too fussed about the what you were doing to people's kind of living room aesthetics when you were designing that. So,
and whatever, I want them to focus on the
performance, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so the other sort of stuff they've got inside of the helmet is they've got little fog vents for the lenses which is crazy that it's taken this long to do it, because that's always been a problem for me.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll heat up. I'll fog them. Mm-hmm. I'm not embarrassed to admit it.
Yeah.
I've got body heat and it radiates out of me.
I wonder if this was inspired by the mask mandates during COVID-19. Just being like, you know what? When you were putting the VR headset on and that was the only time you were dealing with this during your day, but you don't want to be coming out of the cold, your glasses are fogging up while you were in the mask, putting the VR headset on and having the same experience. It's meant to be an escape, guys.
Yeah.
We got to put the fog vents in.
Absolutely. Well, and because people focused on how to defog their glasses, it's like, well, people have been thinking about this, okay? People know you can fix it. Wash your glasses with dishwashing detergent.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I never bothered.
Dip them.
I was that's my one bit of that's my one bit of the pandemic where I was like, this is a scam. This isn't real. This is big domestos getting in.
You've been dipping your glasses in ivermectin.
Yeah.
Trying to get them. Now I could see clearly. I could see the media is lying to us.
It's like the They Live glasses where you can see everyone's like an alien.
So yeah, the helmet is, you know, much of the same, but with those sorts of improvements, little headphone jack, all of that stuff. The controllers, though, I think look pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They've got like a sort of loopy over the wrist circle that you reach through, which is to me that's futuristic.
Yeah,
right.
When someone would reach through the ring and then grab like the spaceship controls out of the console in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah,
love that shit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's Joey from Friends doing that shit in Lost in Space.
Yes,
it looked cool to me, and they kind of look like that. Kind of like the Index controllers, the Valve ones.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that is because they have, you know, more complex finger tracking and stuff like
that.
Yeah. So it's all really fucking exactly what you would imagine, but also really cool.
Yes.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
I'm pumped. I think, and also the little bits of software that they've kind of hinted at and shown off already.
Yes.
Look cool.
Yep.
I mean, I think, you know, we all love our Oculuses that we have. It's a great piece of hardware, especially for the price. But it still is, it's got some great stuff on it.
Yep.
But it still is a bit, you know, actually having a studio that's got all these IPs that they can funnel out these cool experiences with.
Yes.
I think is the,
And with how well the PS5 has sold so far, to the point where, you know, it's only just seeming like now it's getting a little easier to get one.
Yep.
And having the VR headset come along much earlier in its lifespan with a much more capable machine than compared to the PS4. Yes, I agree. I would love to see this spark some new VR stuff being made, because it feels like it's all wound down a little bit on Oculus things. Last year there was like the Resident Evil 4 VR.
Which was great. That's like a starting point that's inspired a lot more stuff of that nature and kind of shown developers what's possible.
Sure.
But I mean, even if this thing just launches with the new Astrobot VR, I think we'd all just love that. With higher fidelity, a bit easier to move your head around because you don't have a billion cables behind you. Like as a launch thing, hopefully they've learnt like, oh, that was the thing that really won people over on the first one. Mm. So the smart move would be get this out of the gate with that as a pack-in.
Yeah.
You're off to the bloody races, mate.
The one thing I'm worried about with only having one cord is I'm looking at my PS5 over there, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Standing tall. We're all looking at it
I'm
now.
I'm now looking at it. Hang on, I've got to rotate myself a little bit. It's but standing now tall. Officially, all three of the boys are looking at Adam's PS5.
So while you're looking at it, would you agree that it is standing proud?
Yes.
Imagine a VR headset.
I'm going to take a photo just a zoomed in once.
Make it the episode image on the social.
You know what it's going to look like. It is see that little USB-C port in the front.
Yep.
Imagine a cord plugged into that, and imagine me walking slightly too far away from that PS5 and giving it a minor yank.
A little tug.
But this is going to be one of those things where the pack-in cord is like probably not, you know, not quite up to scratch in terms of length. But
I'd
you know what
was.
You'll be able to buy for $99.95?
Oh, yes.
A cord that gives you all the bloody length you want.
But even then, say I snag my foot on it and give it a bit of a yank. Having a cord that is attached to my body that could then tug that thing off of its perch and onto the cold, harsh, unforgiving ground below.
I've got a piece of advice.
Yeah.
What you need to do is way less than the PS5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
No, but I can still tug with more momentum, so I need to be weaker even than the amount of strength it would take to pull the PS5.
You can't build up any inertia, so you have to...
Fuck.
Yeah, it's doable.
Well, we don't have a release date yet, so I've got time.
Yeah.
I wonder, because I bought the Oculus Link cable.
It's pretty stable, I have to say. I just gave it a shake.
It's got the stand on. I'm just... It's like the thing when they did the original Xbox, they had those... The controller cables had a less well-connected little extra bit on them that was like a dead cable.
Right.
Whatever you call that. There's a word for that.
Yeah.
Like a dead lock, a safety thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so if you kicked it by mistake, that would disconnect easily.
Yeah.
Well,
like
Apple,
a MagSafe.
Apple had the MagSafe and they've gone, nah, fuck that. You're all adults. You can learn to not trip over your power cords.
And if you can't, we'll bring it into the bloody Apple Care and we might have to charge you a little labor fee.
We'll work something out.
Yeah, a little
bunce.
So, no release date, no price. Yeah, those were the things.
I was going to say, I've got the cord. I bought the cord for the Oculus Link.
Yes.
For my PC to be able to play Half-Life Alyx. Mm. And I found the cord.
It's Ben.
Huh?
That's Ben you were talking to, not Alyx.
Sorry, for the game Half-Life, Ben.
Thank you.
Wait,
which game Half-Life?
Which Half-Life game, yeah.
Oh, the VR one.
Oh.
Half-Life Alyx.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it's Tommy.
Oh, sorry. Half-Life Tommy. Oh, man. They've just been real out of the park hits today.
I love making up your own who's on first.
Yeah,
We've done it before. We've
stumbling
done it
across
shows.
An unfound variant feels pretty good.
Yes. So, who's going to suck my dick? Yes. No, I'm asking.
Anyway, I started using the... because I couldn't get the cord to work properly. Mm. So I started using the, just the wireless thing. And it works fine for me. It works perfect.
Yes.
So you would have to think maybe that's going to be an option with the PS to do it wirelessly.
I imagine...
I would be surprised.
The PS5 is planning to pump out more data, more high quality stuff, right?
And
have a baseline that they have to hit.
I mean, I don't really get how that all works, but
maybe
Half-Life Alyx is pretty demanding visually.
But they also, when they release it, they're like, hey, it's going to depend on the quality of your VR headset. Like, this is all... PlayStation, whatever. It's first party stuff, it's...
I would be surprised because the steps you have to go through to get that to work on a PC, there's more powerful networking stuff going on.
That's very true.
PS5 is maybe capable of. It would be cool, but I wouldn't expect it because they're doing the cable. You'd imagine they.
And
hey,
I'm just thinking out loud because I don't want you to be tripping over things in here, like bloody Mr. Magoo and knocking over.
Well, you are Mr. Magoo. if he had a VR headset all the time,
yeah, it's true.
And he's doing walking over a construction beam simulator, but he doesn't know that in real life he's walking over a construction beam.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous. I'm looking forward to a next gen that will match what is available for the PC now, I guess.
Yeah, and here's my
better
caveat.
Tracking and stuff too.
If it's too expensive, I'm not getting it.
Okay.
Mm. Well, I have a limit.
I suppose that's a rule for every product in the world.
Yes.
I've never bought a house. Way too expensive.
If it's $5.99 Australian, I'm out.
Right.
I feel
that's
like
a lot of money.
I
to
feel like
already
it could
have
be.
An Oculus.
Yeah,
could be pushing it.
I wonder how much they're looking at that, seeing the kind of a big part of the success of the Oculus is that they kind of nailed the price point for what it is. And that last gen one, it was so expensive when it first dropped.
Same as a console, right?
One benefit maybe with this new one is that it is relying more on the internal hardware in the PS5, so they don't have to make that extra box with more processing power.
Yeah.
So even though it is more complicated stuff that they're putting in there.
Right.
Maybe it's more of a screen than
I'm guessing four.
It will cost, I think it could be $500 Australian easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
We won't know yet though. And the fact that they didn't announce it with this and they've gone, here's what the specs are, and then later on here's a photo.
Yeah.
And not doing price yet. you know.
Weird drip feed kind of way that they're doing all this info. Just like little bits of tech stuff and then showing what it looks like. And then, yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, being able to use it. But I'm also just keen to just get the full announce of here's a bunch of stuff that's been developed
with some
for
games
it, what's
for
coming
it
out with it, and here's the date and here's the price.
Well, I do think maybe they're drip feeding it to get people excited so that when it's $600, they're like, well, I already want it, so I have to buy it.
Oh, and I guess not E3 because Sony doesn't do that anymore. But around the middle of the year, they'll do a VR state of play, and we'll get all
well,
of that.
Well, I'll tell you
stuff.
What, there's even less information out there about than the PSVR 2.
What exactly black holes are. There's probably tons about
Is
that.
Is there aliens at Area 51?
Is there?
I think there's more info about that than
the PSVR 2. If you're just talking
if you go
raw,
okay, look, you can find out more about it.
Raw
yeah.
volume of information, I did, there'd be a ton of that.
People speculating, you're not going to get someone being like, I know definitely that the PSVR 2 is out in November and it's going to cost $800.
Tom DeLonge is not doing blog posts about it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I did watch The X-Files, that documentary series, and there's a lot about aliens in that.
Okay,
so, yeah.
All right.
What is that?
Street Fighter 6.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, they did the same thing where it was one of those things where by the time they'd announced it, all these people had gone like, yeah, it's definitely happening on Monday. It had been sort of reported on a bunch. So they came out and everyone was like, yeah.
Vague little teaser.
It's been looking likely for a while because they sort of wrapped up Street Fighter V and they put out, just a short little FMV thing of a couple of Street Fighter guys looking real fighty with each other, looking like they're going to kick shit off.
Who? It's Ryu.
Ryu and someone else. Don't know the other guy. Don't remember.
I think they're an American character. That's all I remembered about it.
Maybe,
there was like a USA patch on their jersey.
I don't think it was Guile or Ken or any of the sort
didn't look like them.
Recognizables. But yes, so there's a Street Fighter 6 coming along
now,
soon.
Famously, Street Fighter 5 launched with like nothing.
They really bungled it, didn't they?
Yeah.
People weren't happy with it, but they fixed it up a lot since then. And you would imagine that they are across what people expect from Street Fighter now.
Well, a high quality, a high standard of quality. Yeah. Not just doing the cheapest and easiest, most possible thing.
If they phone it in again, in any part of this production, it's going to be a bad indication for how much effort they're putting into the thing as a whole.
And you'd think that they would know based on the response, the negativity around that initial launch of 5.
Yep.
They would know. Just dot your I's and cross your T's.
Yep.
You can't get away with cutting corners because people will dig in and find where those corners have been cut. They found out why the net code was exactly bad for Street Fighter 5 when it came out.
Yep.
All of that stuff found. Tracts of information in the codes about extra characters who weren't included.
Right.
All of that shit.
But hey, they're in a safe position because Street Fighter is one of the most globally recognized and respected franchises. The identity of it is so strong. The branding of it is so strong.
Totally.
They've got this beautiful logo.
It's very retro now.
Retro stuff is in too.
Street Fighter.
It's been almost the same since the beginning. They've got this beautiful branding that they can just stick with. You put that on the package and everyone's going to know this stands for quality. So as long as they don't change that, as long as they just stick to that everyone knows and loves.
Uh-oh.
Yes?
News just in. The logo that they put at the end of this fucking video was off of Adobe stock and costs $80.
Hang on, news just in. This bit hasn't been going for long enough. Stretch it out a bit, boys.
Okay, who's on designing team first?
I was very, very much hoping that we would not actually say the joke and would just change topics.
It's really nuts, though. Like, I don't know why there was a hexagon with the letters S and F. Maybe San Francisco,
I think.
I suppose that's the other big SF out there.
It's a stock image, right?
Sandra Bullock.
Yes. It can just stand for whatever you... Maybe the person stand who designed
for.
It... Maybe the person who designed it was like, oh, it'd be cool if Street Fighter used this one day, but no, I'm being silly.
Yeah,
they've got their own logo.
I daren't dream that big.
So they just bought an $80 thing off of Adobe and then added a couple of paint splatters the same color, which is like the easiest thing in the world to do.
Yep.
And then a little six coming out of like a starburst.
Yeah.
It's dead set like copy pasting a uni assignment and just like changing it. Words in a sentence.
We got this from a tweet. I can't remember whose tweet, sorry, but like...
Oh, yeah. It's in our chat.
At Donald J. Trump?
Yeah, that was it. Was it 2 a.m.?
What they're doing with this Street Fighter logo.
It's the greatest logo. It's the greatest logo I've ever seen. It's beautiful.
I'm not encouraging it, but if everyone turns up at the Capcom head offices
this March the 6th, we'll be able
Street Fighter 6, January 6th, a date I remember. Very, yeah.
SF, very well. Inside of a hexagon, six sides, six people in the pizza parlor. You understand what we're going to do.
These guys, they got Monster Hunter, they got Resident Evil, and now they got a new Street Fighter coming out, folks.
Is it pronounced Capcom or Capcom? Capcom. I've been saying Capcom, Capcom for years.
The Cap Company. It's Capcom.
The tweeter person was
a failing company.
Aurich, A-U-R-I-C-H. They, right. They broke the story.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Great find by them. God. You'd be looking at it going, this can't be right.
I must be just remembering one of these. This. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yes, as you said, Knox, US $79.99. Fucking hell.
Because in general, all of the other stuff that Capcom do, so that yeah, it's happened to them again now with Street Fighter, even though it is very early on in the rollout, but it's still a bad look. And then, yeah, the launch of 5, pretty bungled. But all their other stuff that they put out, I tend to associate with such a high level of quality and polish. They with all their other franchises, they don't seem like a company that does things by half.
No.
Like Monster Hunter Rise had this weird abrupt ending that they added stuff to later.
Right.
But that was still after like 15, 20 hours. That wasn't it. Like,
yeah, and the game was good. Like it launched.
Yeah, it wasn't. So it's weird that with the Street Fighter team, they're a bunch of bums.
Yeah.
they're punching each other in the head all day. It's like the Jackass crew over there. But right. Just because they've got to do the animations themselves. Right. So they're all like, oh, I'm too hurt to design something.
So all the mocap's internal. They don't outsource. Yeah. They don't get other people in.
And they don't
the mocap and the injuries.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, yeah, it'll be probably using that RE engine, which they use for everything now. Yep. And it's a new Street Fighter with all the promise and trepidation that seems to bring for people. The other thing that I wanted to fucking bring up that I think is crazy but should have happened ages ago is that for the first time they're skipping a Call of Duty year.
Yes.
Right after they're like, no, it'll keep coming out on PlayStation, and then they're like...
So there's not one in 2023.
It looks as though there will not be. It's not confirmed yet, but it's like...
Which is...
Jason Schreier and stuff reporting this, being like, hey, it's going to happen. Dr. Shrek.
When did he become a doctor?
Right now.
Yeah.
That is when the contract finishes with Sony.
Is it?
Yes.
Right.
That is what they said. They said...
Interesting.
We're contracted to release them on all platforms up until and inclusive of 2023.
So 2023, there will be one next year. They're skipping until 2023. Sorry, I might have said that wrong. There won't be one coming out this year.
Yeah. Even so, that is removing one from the slate.
Yeah. And it's like, honestly, probably past time they took this year gap. Assassin's Creed was the other big yearly thing from, like, I guess they didn't do one in 2008, but 2007 was Call of Duty 4, and every single year after that, so for the last 15 years, they have put out a Call of Duty every year, come rain or shine. And that is including the ones where it was very clear they didn't have the resources to fully do it.
Right.
Black Ops 4 came out with a campaign that they ditched. They didn't put it out, and it was just the
Warzone,
Battle Royale
zombies and the other tournament stuff.
Just regular, multiplayer. Yeah. And the seams and the cracks have been in multiple of the games across the year of the pressure that they
but
are
not
under.
All of them, right? No. Like Cold War, Black Ops Cold War.
Yep, and Modern Warfare the year before that.
Like, there have been some fantastic ones.
They moved on at some point to a position where... So, it used to be two teams working on them alternating in 2 years. Then they added a third in.
Right.
And each would put out a game every 3 years. Which
are they all internal teams?
They are.
Well?
They're dedicated on this stuff. And then they have, like, some support teams that work with each other and all that stuff too. But they all basically just do Call of Duty on a three-year rotation.
Right.
And even that, it's just a big enough, massive enough, crazy enough thing that, like, yes, they do that 3 year thing, but then they've got a year of post release support with maps and stuff that eats into that next game, and that it's time to reevaluate the whole thing too, in the way that Assassin's Creed did.
Yeah.
Where the reason that 4 was successful enough that it was essentially successful for 15 years is because they went, wait a minute, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And had to think about it again.
What does the world need from first person shooters? Cool stuff.
Numbers. Numbers increase after you shoot.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. And then Destiny went, hello.
Yeah. Yoink.
But so, and every other shooter in the world did that. So, they are taking a year off this year, it looks like, which is great news.
Yeah.
I would love to see them really
get
take stock and
back.
Go again.
What if the next one's bad?
It probably will be. And, like, I think that will be... No, I'm crazy. I will keep playing them until they stop making them.
I was going to say, my answer to your question would have been Adam will play all of it.
Well, yes, he's already played some bad ones.
Plenty of them.
Yeah.
But it will just be like, in the way that has happened with other, especially Activision things like Tony Hawk, Guitar Hero, they milk them until they're dry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they can re-wet this franchise if they just spend a little bit of time.
Licking the nipple.
That's all you got to do.
Yep.
It's all connected in there.
I just can't imagine how it's going to change. Like, what are they going to go away and come back with? Like, they're making cinematic campaigns that are of varying length, and then they're making globally successful billion-dollar, you know, multiplayer modes. Like, why do they need to make it better?
So there's two different directions that I could imagine it happening in. Is one is like, hey, Call of Duty is a yearly release, no longer exists. Here's Call of Duty Infinite.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the Fortnite version of Call of Duty where it's free and we put paid stuff in there and we're completely transitioning to that model.
Right.
Or they go like Assassin's Creed, where I had the same thought of like, well, what could they do to even make Assassin's Creed fun again? Because it's such a established and well-worn format that this game exists in, that a ton of other games now do too. And their answer was like, oh, we played The Witcher and sort of did that.
A little.
And then that got tiring as well.
Yes, it did. After two.
Yeah. So I don't know. If I knew, I would hang up this call right now. We're in real life.
Yeah.
And I would go, I would march up to Phil Xbox's office.
Yes. Yep.
Be like, hey, Phil, it's 2 days after the allegations and I'm here to sweep up.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy that they've finally themselves reached the point of going like, we can't. We've got to skip one. It's their biggest cash cow.
Yeah.
Maybe it is the Xbox acquisition that has given them the breathing room to be able to go like,
sure,
we can take our foot off of the accelerator for
a minute. If they have three essentially like development teams working at all times, like maybe they've got salaries to pay and they've had a slim profit margin. Who knows? Maybe this is the little buffer they need.
And their business model has needed that yearly release at this point, up until this point. But there are lots of other games that are proving that maybe there's a way to make even more money and make an even worse game. But we'll see what happens with that. But it's something that is like, if they'd have done it in 2016, that would have made sense.
Yeah.
Well, you're skipping a year with Call of Duty makes a lot of sense. But you know what it doesn't make sense to skip?
What's that, Tommy?
Trimming your pubic hair.
And ad reads on podcasts. You should never skip them.
Yes.
That's our cash cow. We can't afford to take a week off.
We're operating in a very slim profit margin.
Hey, if someone acquired us, then sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you like slim margins, though, you can keep a slim margin between the end of your skin on your genitals
and the
beginning of the outside world.
Oh, yes.
There you go. And you get a little clip thing. What's it called? To like decide the length that you want. What's that thing called on top of a trimmer? Does that have a name?
Adjustable length thing?
Hair trimmer length clip.
Yeah. What are those things fucking?
I don't know. Fucking doohickey?
Yeah. I bet even in hairdressing it's just called, pass me the thing.
Yeah, sure.
The length thingy.
The length.
You know who would know? The good people at Manscaped.
Yeah, God, you'd hope. Although maybe not.
Splish splash, I was taking a bath and I noticed I have beautiful balls.
Okay.
I was so excited to read that.
Yeah.
Our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in below-the-waist hygiene.
And leaders in lyricist work. Lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lyricism.
The leaders in lyrics.
The Bernie Taupin of dicks and balls.
Bernie Taupin and John Thomas.
Yep.
Right?
I'm John Thomas.
Are turning men's shower dreams into their favorite routine with the all-new Ultra Premium Collection. This all-in-one hygiene skin and hair bundle is designed to upgrade the everyday man's shower routine from head to penis.
Which is where I stop. Ignore the legs. That's my rule.
It says toe, but hey, that is where I stop. Your skin, hair, and balls deserve this. What do you reckon about that copy?
That's pretty good.
It's fun, right?
Splish splash, I was having a bath. Took me by surprise to remove the rhyming from that. It makes it sound a lot. Splish splash.
Splish splash, I was having a bath. So if you want all of that. Oh, actually, there's some more interesting talking points. Let me walk you through the Manscaped shower routine.
Hey, please.
Here we go.
Step one. Lather on the cologne-infused ultra-premium body wash with aloe vera and sea salt. Both good things for your skin.
Yeah, ultra-premium.
Or to drink.
Yeah, or just to be at the ocean.
Yeah, or to rub on sunburn.
Oh, yes.
Now one for if you want to calm it down, one for if you want to anger it up.
Yeah. To keep your skin feeling clean and moisturized all day. Step two, it's hair care time.
Mm-hmm.
Apply the two-in-one shampoo plus conditioner that cleanses and nourishes in one step. That's always good for blokes, right? You need just combine it.
Two in one. Let's not get fancy. And if I was going to put two in the one, those are the two I'd choose.
Yeah.
Shampoo and conditioner, the big two.
Okay.
Two in one, shampoo and more shampoo.
step three. Yep. I almost went to step four. Silly me.
No. Wash properly.
Once you hop out of the shower, protect yourself from body odor by applying the Manscaped deodorant.
Mm. Great. Important
steps. They've covered every step of the process so far.
Step four.
Yeah.
Have tattoos or dry skin?
Okay, I don't know if I want to do that step, to be honest, but...
Hit your skin with the body moisturizer.
Okay, that's pretty good.
I always moisturize, mainly just my face, but hey, there's a whole body under there.
Yeah.
I moisturize the big tattoo of Steve-O's face.
Yeah. You don't want that peeling.
His face to look nice and good.
Step five, apply the Manscaped lip balm. That's a free gift when you buy the Ultra Premium Collection.
Wow.
Mm.
Balm your lips up.
Balm them up. And last but not least... trim your body hair with a lawnmower 4.0. I can't believe that was the last one.
I'd have done that before the shower, to be honest.
Yeah,
Would have been my order.
But then,
why am I fucking conditioning the hair I'm going to take off?
Great question.
For the wig shop?
Great question.
Where I take my pubic hair?
I'm getting
hair?
A phone call, guys. Should I answer it?
No.
We're at work. We're in the middle of an ad.
If you like Manscaped and the sound of its jib, and we sure do like to cut with Manscaped, and the cut of its jib is good. You can go to manscaped.com. And
that's what it's called. Little attachment for the length. It's called a jib.
Is it really?
No, but I like the cut of it there, jib. Yeah,
that's the stuff that you put in Crocs, the little charms.
The gibbets.
Yeah.
Gibbets.
And you can put in the code FILTHY onto their website when you're buying stuff. You get 20% off and free shipping is, I believe, the deal that we have for you.
That's the deal. It's always the deal. It's always a great deal, and it's always from manscaped.com. So head there. Filthy, free shipping, 20% off. We love you, Manscaped.
Great
they
product.
Love your balls.
Great and product, great company. We love them.
Speaking
love
of things being great and loving them,
mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying Horizon 2 Forbidden West.
I am abstaining from that segue. I cannot in good faith participate.
I personally think that this is a good game and I'm having a fun time with it.
We've all settled in. We've flipped our chairs around. We're sitting on them backwards and we're about to really rap with each other.
Yep.
You know who else had great balls? Little man by the name of G. So
I wanted to say before I was. Have I ever told you about when I was in Japan?
A few times, and I got a
tattoo of Steve-O on my back.
Mm.
It's because I was in the Yakuza.
Okay. Jackass Yakuza.
Yeah. The Jackass Yakuza.
Yeah.
Write in with your opinion on that joke.
I think it's a fine game.
Right.
Fine. I don't know how I feel yet.
Yeah.
Why don't you take the reins to begin with, Adam, because you're the most positive.
Yeah, you love it.
I'll wrestle this big mechanical fucking ox thing.
Yep.
And write it down to my next little quest marker, which is to explain why I think Horizon is good. And on the way to that quest, I will talk to myself endlessly about what I have to do next. That
just
is
observing a lot of stuff. Mm. Oh, yeah. It's sunny.
Huh. There's a tree over there.
Guess I'll put that in my stash.
Oh, all right. Yeah, big one for that.
Yep.
So, yeah, Horizon Forbidden West is very much a sequel to the first game. It is doing the same sort of stuff at the same sort of pace.
It also picks directly up from the end of the story.
I kind of thought it would be... It does do a bit of a catch-up.
You get a Netflix kind of recap at the
start.
But
it's very much done in a way that assumes that it is reminding you of stuff that you've played in the first one a few years ago. Yep. I don't think it does the best job of educating you new to it.
Yep.
So I went offline and did a bit of, and read a big thing just to kind of...
There are some videos that people have put up on YouTube that are like, here's what you need to know about Horizon Zero Dawn. And it is worth watching one of them if you never played the first one.
I think you definitely, if you haven't, you need to do that outside reading, because I don't think the game does quite a good enough job if you're completely fresh.
Because there's a lot to it. There's a lot going on there, because you've got all of these different... people in this futuristic post-apocalyptic world.
I guess we'll spoil the first game, right?
Yeah, we kind of have to talk about this one, I think, because so in the first one,
and also you, like we just said, you can't play the sequel without playing the first one. First one's a great game, so I would just say play it.
Yeah,
you know, come back and listen
it's
afterwards.
5 years old, almost to the day now as well. So you know, I played it at the time and I've forgotten a lot of that stuff. So
me too.
It gave me the recap.
I even spoke to someone recently about it, just like chatting about, because they loved the story in the first one. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess I remember there was like a big corporation and they were trying to like do something and then it ended up fucking the world and then there were machines around. And
that's it.
And that's like, I was like, oh yeah, cool. There's some interesting themes there.
I tapped out on one when it was still all just mostly focusing on kind of like Aloy's sort of the tribal stuff, which was a bit, I think, probably the weakest part of it. And so going back and reading what this story actually was, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I remember you for years, Adam, have said it gets to a really, really kind of interesting point the further on it goes. And reading it, I was like, oh, that's cool. That's kind of a cool premise.
And so I agree. The first sort of 2/3 of the game are doing this world where people live is sort of what we would now call like sort of primitive humans, in like they've got wood and they've got you know, older and now we know better.
Nothing primitive about that.
I mean, if you're talking like early human, like
sort
in
of
the morning,
7 a.m.
But it's very, it's also like what if the every culture that ever existed was sort of melted down and then sent back to the Stone Age?
Yes.
And it's all sort of like one vaguely
like a mishmash, and you've got different clans and tribes and stuff, but they're all not, you know, deliberately not relating to what has existed in real human history. So the reason for that, you find out in the back third of the game, and this is also the reason why there are big robot machines everywhere, is because the world that we live in ended in the 2060s because of climate change and nuclear war and all that sort of stuff, that, and then also robots taking over. They built a thing to restart life.
A terraforming
far
thing
in the future, a terraforming AI.
Yes.
And with some AI subordinates who would take over robots and or invent robots that kind of are based around animals, because we program the AIs, so that's kind of what they know about.
Yeah.
Rebuild the world, repopulate the world with some genes from humans and things like that that we left behind, and that's the world you're living in now.
Yeah.
You are a clone of the woman who led this project, because Gaia was shut down, Gaia being the AI, from some mysterious signal. Did that as a last-ditch thing because you can go and unlock doors with your genetic stuff.
Yeah.
And was like, hey, go solve this. And then you're solving it for the back bit.
Yes.
There's an AI called Hades who is trying to kill everybody because it's gone rogue.
Yep.
And so it's all rogue AIs and stuff like that. Very sci-fi stuff, but done really well in the last sort of third of that game.
Yeah, I did think it was very cool.
And you're picking
and
up.
And worth persevering through what seemed initially like a sort of generic-y game.
It
like,
was very, and I thought the same thing about the majority of that game, is that it was sort of Assassin's Creed and open world kind of bland. These characters were a bit boring, as evidenced by the fact that when you are doing the first couple of hours of this new game and it's sort of going, 6 months have gone by, but here's you catching up with the other characters before you head west, didn't remember a fucking one of them except for the guy with the mutton chops.
Yeah, same.
So
same.
And all I remembered about him is he was the guy with the mutton chops.
Yeah.
So you're being reintroduced to these boring characters, but then it makes the good decision of sending you off to a new place. There's a further escalation of this task that you've got to save the world.
Yep.
And it is focusing more on those sci-fi elements with a character in Aloy who, in the first game, she was very wide-eyed and naive and learning about the world.
Proving herself.
Proving herself, which led to a character who was a lot of like, what's going on here? And the character now is like, I know what's going on here. Get out of my way.
Right.
Yep.
Which I am finding a much more interesting character to be spending time with going through this story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that is doing a lot of work into making me really connect with this game more than the first one, even though it is kind of doing the same stuff. But for whatever reason, it has completely clicked with me this time around, and I'm enjoying fighting these big robots, the sort of difficulty level that it asks of you for some of them. All the side quests that I've done so far I've found to be varied enough that I'm like, yeah, cool. It's not amazing. Like, the climbing is a bit awkward, and like a lot of its ideas are that thing where it's like, yeah, this is what a video game is these days. You know what I mean? But it's just doing it in a way that's really getting me into a zone with it.
I'm still, like, I overall, I'm enjoying it. But my issue with it is, like, I think the pacing of, especially the intro, is kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we try and put as much time as we can into a game before we talk about it on here. And, you know, with a AAA game, it's usually a good 5 hours or so.
At minimum,
until you're
to be able to
really getting a feel of, like, what the game is. And so I think this has, like, the very first thing that you do, this tutorial that I really enjoyed. I thought it was very elegant. I thought the environment that you... It did a really good job of kind of teaching you stuff in kind of an engaging way, showing you a little bit of all the different types of stuff that you do, and the environment that you're in was really nice as well. And then it just throws you into all these cutscenes, and then the world looks like it's opened up, and then you're kind of exploring for a bit, and then you're in a cave, which is like... I just want to be in the... I want to be dropped into the... I want to be doing the... Like, this environment looks stunning. I feel like I've walked around in that for maybe 5 minutes and then been mostly watching cutscenes and being in these, like, dank little caverns that still look cool, but it's just... I'm sort of... And if I was just playing this for leisure, and if this was just a, you know, my one game for the next 4 months, I'd probably be a bit more settled into it. But I've found it frustrating, which is a unique kind of position to be in doing it for this, where I'm like, just get me in, because I'm quite a few hours in and I still don't really feel like it's properly started yet.
I'm about 20 hours, somewhere around there in, and about three times it's gone, okay, now here's the thing.
Yeah.
So it and that intro, the first sort of like 7 hours of it is kind of going through and doing admin in a weird way,
right?
Which I was still engaged with and kind of enjoying, but yes, it does have that feeling over the top of your head the whole time of like, we're not going yet.
Yeah, I still don't really feel settled in it yet, even though I am mostly enjoying it. Yeah, the world stuff is cool, the story stuff is great, it looks beautiful. It's fun to play in spite of the fact that I think that for the most part the controls are incredibly unintuitive.
Yeah.
Its use of the controller is, I don't think it's doing anything more than any other kind of third person exploration game, but it's just and I remember that's kind of why, I mean, you know, as with most people, I bounced off the first one because Breath of the Wild came out, and I remember just never being able to go back to it because this really feels like it's laid out in a way that if you dip out of this for a couple of weeks and you try and come back, there's just things that, like, switching over to the pull caster is just like you aim and then you tap a button. Like, it's not its own thing on the weapon wheel.
It's weird how it, like, clearly takes inspirations from, like, every open world game from the past 10 years, but takes, like, the better ones.
Yep.
And then doesn't also take, like, a really commonly accepted control scheme, right? Like, there's your Assassin's Creed games, your... All those Ubisoft ones that are kind of lack creativity still nail stuff like the controller layout. You know?
I think part of it is that you've just got a lot of different options too.
You've got so, like, so much stuff.
The controls themselves kind of feel like that, I think partly because you are also making these complex decisions of like, okay, so I've got acid, I've got frost, I've got this other type of ammo, I've got this other longbow, so maybe I should use that. And so I feel like it is more difficult to get into that thing of flowing into what you want to do.
I mean, think about Ratchet and Clank though, like, apart from the tripcaster, all of the weapons in Horizon are pretty much just shoot or throw.
Right.
You know, and like Ratchet and Clank had like, what, like 10 guns that all had very different reasons to use them. That by the end of the game, I was just going through all the ammo that I had. But that had a shit ton of different weapons and it was very, very simple too.
I think that this one is just asking you to use specific ones at certain points though, because it's like this robot is specifically weak to this thing and this one is massive and won't like be taken down unless you get it into this state.
Yeah, I just think there's certain things that are like...
But yeah, I do agree.
Why is this
awkward
in a different little like a rock that you're throwing? Why is that on the thing on the D-pad instead of just being on the... Why can't you just have...
And
like Ratchet
like
and Clank had multiple pages of the weapon wheel
yeah
that you would program to your personal specifications. And then this has the weapon wheel, but then it's also got certain things that you can only get to by, yeah, tapping
pressing
a
down.
Button.
Yeah.
Tapping a button while you've got, while right. you're aiming, and yep. then, yeah, doing stuff on the D-pad.
Traps.
It's just,
why are traps not in the weapon wheel? Like, it's just, yeah.
Bit, they're like items down there, but then you also call your horse from there. So
yeah.
You've got to go
yeah.
over to
it's a little or bit like fast travel, like the fast travel packs are there.
I think
yeah.
it is a little bloated with that stuff, because then in the menus too, you've got all these different armor and weapon and all these things that you can upgrade, and then you can put different
and then
things into them to
yeah,
give them different
right,
traits.
All that. You, and don't, I mean, you don't add of it. You don't add the modifications on the workbench, you add them just in the menu.
Yeah.
Right. There's different resources that some of them you will have to go and refill from your stash. Some of them seem to get brought in automatically.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like
yep.
for the health. Like it is there's a lot going on that it
and this is a personal taste thing, but I'm sick of the skill trees. I'm sick of.
Oh yeah,
it's. I'm a little. You know, it's like the starting. It's kind of the same in every game. You're starting mm-hmm. from scratch, and it's always just a bit like, you've done this thing, and I tend to just kind of let it go for a bit, and then all of a sudden I go,
right.
I guess I haven't done that for ages, and then you just kind of going through a menu, pushing a button, and it's like, great, now I've got a new combo that I'm never going to be able to remember to use.
So
right. there's only eight different things. But anyway, that's just a personal taste.
Well,
because
this, I think this is kind of interesting that, like, I agree with that in some games, and I'm not finding it with
yeah,
this.
Right.
And I think it is sometimes with games like this a personal rhythm thing of
yeah.
when this game happens to come out in relation to how your tolerance is for it or how much
absolutely.
Of that you've played
yeah.
recently.
Yes.
Because it's like, Mad Max in like 2015 or whatever that was, you loved, which
yeah,
and
yeah.
a lot of people kind of like, oh, it's okay, because I think that had been at like a height of a people getting sick of Assassin's Creed and type stuff.
Yes,
games,
yes. and also
which you
like,
hadn't necessarily been as engaged with as
right.
people who were getting sick of Mad Max.
Yeah, 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 and like
yeah.
GTA was fairly more like recent
right.
back then,
yeah. right.
so like car combat games weren't.
Right.
But yeah, I think this one. It's tough. It's not a bad game by any means. I want to read this quote from someone else's review because I just think it is a very accurate quote.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll get their name. It's
Mission
from the
Impossible 6 is the greatest adding yet. For
it's Matthew Galt's review on Vice
uh-huh.
of mm-hmm. this game. And
I
he
took
says,
DMT and then played Horizon Forbidden West.
I played Horizon Forbidden West in a sex club.
If you're looking for a revolutionary experience that teaches you what open world games can be, Forbidden West isn't it. But if you're looking for a competent distraction that soothes and smooths the brain by repeating what open world games have been doing for years, Forbidden West does the job. The line between a good and bad open world game has grown thin, and Forbidden West manages to walk that line with all the grandeur of PlayStation's exclusive tentpole releases. But as I push farther into Forbidden West, unlocking its mysteries and learning its backstory, my mind keeps wandering, and I wonder if I have it in me to play it for another 10 hours, let alone another 40.
I'll read a quick review from cumdog69 okay. on Steam as well.
It says, Aloy's not hot enough.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
<No. laughs> but I think that's a very fair review, and I think he's overall positive on it. Like, it's not a negative review.
Yeah.
He's saying, like, yeah, this is a fun-ass game where you can get the cherry-picked best bits of all the big blockbuster open world games.
Yeah.
It's all done very neatly and professionally. Nothing's going to make you think too hard, but it's not that distinctive. And I think that's how I feel about it. It's like, combat is fun. Like, I'm enjoying it more than when I first played the first game. Like, I'm playing probably a ranged build rather than just melee.
Right.
And so I'm like, a lot of slow motion, firing off shots at, you know, the weak points, and maybe even doing that has made me sort of see through the matrix of the game a bit. Because I think when you played Cyberpunk, Nox, you were like, yeah, I just got the biggest shotgun I could find and ran through everywhere.
It was so easy. Yeah, yeah.
And so this, it's like, all you have to do is like go to an area, scan everything and shoot them with a bow, you know?
Yeah,
so I've found that like sort of fun because it's not hard, but I've not found it as complex maybe.
And it gives you more challenges with different robots later on, you know? Like,
yeah.
It is very much a thing where, and depending on your mood about it, to the game's detriment, where it has lots more to give that it puts 40 hours away from you. So like, well, am I going to put the effort to get there?
Right.
Because I think I am, because I haven't played a game like this for a while. And so this is just really doing it for me. I'm enjoying and finding enough drive for me in the story. Like, I'm kind of into what the sci-fi stuff of the story is.
Yeah, me too.
I'm liking
generally
reading
speaking, yeah.
all of the little data pads around, and I'm finding Aloy to be a pretty good performance.
Yep. I think Aloy is, and the design I think is great. Like, yeah, it's the most, it's had the most effort put into it, clearly. But I do still think they, it's Guerrilla Games, right?
Yeah. Yep.
They don't quite have a handle on designing characters other than the main character that feel like real people with personalities and, sure, and histories. A lot of them are very traditional video game character NPCs.
That's, yeah, I
think
it's going back and forth for me, where there are some who are great,
right,
out there, but yes, for the most part, I think it's better than the first one for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that review, it's like, I mean, I think this has been the case with open world stuff for a while now. It's, mm-hmm, like, we generally know what we're going to get from them. They're all, by and large, essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's just how much you engage with the wrapping.
Right. Yeah.
And I think this is more unique than a lot of other stuff, because it does have this kind of interesting mix of, like, caveman, tribally kind of stuff, and then robotic,
mm,
kind of. Like, to me, that's the big thing that gives it the point of difference. And that's probably not enough for some people. If, mm, you've played tons of open worlds, especially Assassin's Creed-y kind of stuff, then yeah, of course you're seeing through that and going like, oh, well, this is just, yeah, mm, this is just asking all the same stuff as me. But also, yeah, I mean, my problem with it still so far is that it's not open worldy enough. Like, yeah, it's still like, it hasn't, it's like, I wish it was more just like, boom, here's the world, here's your little markers, go around and do. I haven't even opened a map yet.
Because the thing is,
anyone, right, asked me to like open and look at a map.
Well, it gets there.
It does, right, get,
it's
there.
It's just,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
it does have pacing issues from the start.
Yeah.
If you are not going into it going like, I will definitely spend 50 hours with this.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're, yeah, waiting to be convinced.
Right. And if you know, or if you just click with it early and go like, yep, I'm in, take your time with me, mm, then I'm enjoying that.
Yeah,
but I don't think that it's necessarily like the most inviting game. But then on the other side of that, so yes, in terms of like your mood will dictate to some extent how you in much you enjoy this game. But in terms of like the visuals and all of that stuff, I think they're fucking really good. It's still a PS4 game at its heart. You can see that, but I'm really, yeah, liking the way it looks.
That's
in terms
another
of
one
design
of my big
as well.
I think it looks so good. And that's probably going to be the thing that keeps me going through it, is that it's just a beautiful looking game. But I mean, we're getting further and further on now, and I just wish this was a PS5 exclusive. All the, mm, stuff that is really good about it, I just think that with a little more oomph behind it, like, could just be, I can't help but, yeah, just be a bit disappointed when I think about the version of this game that didn't have to be made with last gen hardware in, yeah, mind. And I don't think that's like, I know they've been a hard console to get for a long time. I don't think that's kind of like an elitist or unfair thing to say when we're now over a year into the lifespan of this console to be like, no, a game like this that comes out should just be on this console, and it should just be looking,
the
you
best,
know, the best,
yeah,
it possibly can, because, yeah,
which
the sequel was out on the last-gen hardware. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. And, yeah, like, for the PS4 game that it is, it looks incredible.
Yeah, it really,
like,
does.
This is the top of what that thing can do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, then getting either a higher resolution or a better frame rate on a PS5 is like, oh, well, okay, I'm playing a PS4 game. But,
sure,
it is a good-looking PS4 game. And we'll have the same thing happen with God of War, probably.
I was, yeah, exactly, yeah, thinking of that. I don't love the design. I think, yeah, there's a lot of detailed stuff on screen. Like, it looks real. You know, mm, you're walking through the jungle, you're walking, mm, through rocky outcrops and stuff, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is real. I don't like the design. I think it's not very, like, game intuitive. And I also don't like the tribe setting.
Okay.
I think, right, it's the weakest thing about the game, because it is watered down. It's not, there are no distinct cultures to, like, refer back to, you know, yourself or be engaged with. It is very, like, we've put it all in a blender.
I
love the mixture of like an retaken, overgrown natural world with, yeah, robots and shit. And like when you see sort of that shuttle near the start of the game, there are other bits where like I've, you know, wandered way off to do side quests and been like, oh, this like crest of a hill where these giant, you know, big,
right,
machine structures are half, yeah, buried. It's like, that looks sick. But most of the time, you're running from village to village and they all look pretty much the same.
Yeah, it's an interesting decision because, yeah, that's that setting, that like what I was saying before, like that merging of those two ideas, mm, is the point of difference that I think can win people over on the fact that it is just another open world game.
Right.
But they spend a lot of time digging down on the kind of the tribes.
Yeah.
And that's been done in plenty of other stuff.
Yes.
It's so Stargate.
That's the bit that makes it feel a bit like...
Yeah. It's doing the Stargate thing, right?
Yeah.
It's a sci-fi thing, but everywhere they go, it's like, oh, what are you? That's crazy.
Yeah.
So like...
But and even like, you know, the robots are animals, like you said. So, yeah.
They have a bit of a Transformers movies look to them.
Yeah.
That makes them a little complicated to see exactly where you're looking to shoot without using the scanner sometimes.
Yeah.
That's probably... But I'm finding just like as... compared to, because you're kind of like in the East for a bit and then you go West and there's like a difference between the people of the West. What does that mean?
The king of wishful thinking.
No, I heard what you said, but I don't know what you're...
The song by the band Go West.
Oh. Say Feifel or something I can understand.
Yeah, or Village People.
Yeah.
Go West.
No, I stand by it.
Make your jokes for me, man. But yes, it's,
you go West and it changes.
They're different, right?
Yeah,
like
yes.
They've got a thing to them, and
I do like the caves and stuff because it's like there wasn't any of that in the first game. Really, you would like go into a facility and you go down an elevator shaft and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I like the environments.
Yeah,
I just feel like maybe it is. There's not personality behind every element of the game. Like some of it feels a bit like, oh, we saw this in another... Well, not literally, but like, this is what you do in a game, so we're doing this.
Here's the weird people who love bombs. Here's the like...
Right.
Here's the funny guy who's like a bit of an asshole and he'll trade with you. And it's
and
got
like,
those sorts of things.
This boss is a big snake. No spoilers, that's at the start. But it's like, well, it's a bit like Monster Hunter, isn't it? Yeah, a little bit.
Mm.
Like, I think the more interesting things that were in the first one, maybe I... just taking for granted now, and I don't know how I feel about it because I played it for 5 hours and I'm enjoying it. It's fun to play.
There's a lot more in there, but I think it's a fair point to be like, well, it takes too long, so like if it has put you to sleep by the time it gets to that stuff, then that stuff isn't in there for your experience
and
of the game.
Well, but also if you're someone who's generally, I mean, because we're playing this in a way where we've gotten a... We were interested in it, but we're playing it under this time frame to talk about on the pod.
Yeah.
But most people buying it, their experience is probably like, they're not playing everything. So they're fine. Those pacing issues don't really exist, as you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because it's a sequel, so you kind of, you know whether you're going to be into it or not going
and
in.
Also, just like your mileage will definitely vary with how much this one will grab you, depending on when the last time you were grabbed was, I think. Because, like, I have those same exact issues with heaps of games that are like this.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, this one's just gotten in under the... before the garage door closes. And now it lives in my garage.
Yeah. And you go and visit it and you have a great time.
Yeah, this is fucking
it.
Sick. You can
you
live
play
here
the
for a
drums,
while.
One of the drums.
You've
got
to get out of here
broken,
on Friday because Elden Ring's coming to live here.
Yes,
but other than
yes.
that, you're good to stay for a while.
But like, I was like really excited for this game. And I don't think I've played an open world game recently, except for like ones I've been replaying maybe.
Right.
It just feels... I definitely feel like, and maybe it's the same for you, it just needs another... couple of hours.
Yeah.
And I've also been playing it in these...
I think it might, because my opinion of it is a lot of the stuff of it not having personality, I feel like it does.
Right.
Where I'm at, like, there is more of that personality, and like there's variety in the places and the people that I'm talking to. So I really, I think maybe the game is taking too long to make itself evident.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I also just feel like part of the way I've been playing it has been in these little bursts here and there where I just... You know, I just need a night where I can devote to like really sort of sinking into it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of my frustrations have come from, okay, I've got an hour. Mm. And then I'm just doing this little thing where I'm like, I thought this was going to be the bit that gets me in like into it a bit. Whereas, you know, if I had the time to just cook dinner and then just play it for 4 or 5 hours before bed.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd be, you know, a little more kind of
I think there's
open to those bits of it.
Yeah,
I've been playing a fair bit of it, and I've been, you know, it's been the game that I've been excited to chuck on when I'm, you know, finished watching a TV show or whatever. I'm like, oh yeah, sick, I'll keep going through it. And yeah, I think the nitpicks are more because it's meant to be a AAA game, you know, like I didn't feel this way about God of War or Red Dead Redemption 2 or like, you know, those kind of games. Even Cyberpunk, it's like, oh, I overlooked some of the technical issues because I did like the setting and the gameplay.
Yeah.
This, I just think it's like a step below what I expected it would be. You know, I expected it to be like very well written, very well directed, you know, and it's like, it's just one below that. I think maybe Guerrilla is more into a detailed world, literally, like the environment.
Right.
And then like good, definitely good game mechanics, but their focus is like, we want people to take screenshots of this and share it. And that is what we'll be very proud of over like, we want people to tear up at the end of the story, which is maybe more what a rock star is thinking about when they make Red Dead 2.
Yeah, I think I'm liking the story a bit more than that, but I see what you're saying. And I will say as well, before we wrap up, that there's like, there are some technical problems with it. I've had some glitchy stuff. I've had some like, nothing major, just like getting stuck on little rock, like just all that kind of like zipping over the map because you're attacking something that is further away than the animation thought it was.
Oh, yeah. So when I'm doing the stealth attacks, like the enemy will like freeze and like sort of float a little bit as well. It's like, well, that's a bit immersion breaking.
Some awkwardness with some of the climbing where like if you jump onto a ledge, Aloy will like catch onto it and sort of fling her legs underneath. But clipping through the thing, like, so much of the time. Just I've had with these, bits and pieces like
with
that.
With the, like, kind of platforming bits that are in these, like, particularly, I guess, like, Sony, like, third-person games.
And, like, the Tomb Raider-y type of stuff.
Yeah.
It's always a bit like, you know, when you play a Mario, like, he feels very loose and the platforming stuff that you're doing is, like, you feel like you have real fluidity of movement and it's all on you and your responses. But climbing in these kinds of games and traversal is always just, like, it just feels weirdly like kind of locked in, like you've got to be just kind of you're on this little
you can feel the maths that's being done to snap you to the next bit, you can see the gears grinding to get
even
you over there.
I found it more in this game than others. Like I had a thing where I was like climbing up a thing and I was like, oh no, I want to go down and walk around, so I pressed the drop down button, so Aloy dropped down to the lower level ledge, but then automatically climbed across to another one.
Right.
Like, I just wanted to drop onto the ground. You're making me like go to the right.
There's a bit of that sort of stuff, but like, you know, that is very common with this type of game, and it's not fucked anything for me.
And there was another thing where it was like climb up to this cave, and so it's like just halfway up a cliff.
Right.
I'm like, how do I get up there? Because if you just push forward, You don't automatically find the next...
If you do the scan thing, it'll bring up like orange lines that indicate
like,
where you're climbing.
That's a crazy requirement to be like, well, you have to use detective mode to see, you know, you should be able to either automatically climb or not be able to.
They're just designed in a way where it's like, oh, I can grab that.
You can feel the same thing that happened with the first one. It's noticeable how it's like not as fluid, the climbing stuff, as an Assassin's Creed or the Breath of the Wild.
Uncharted is the version where there's less that you can do, so it's more obvious. Whereas this one, it's like, it's almost like a Death Stranding. Like, you should be able to go over every rock and everything, but you can't.
Yeah.
So you could be left hitting X and just like bouncing off a cliff and when you should have just been going one step to the left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But overall, it seems like something where like it's going to be personal taste that means, like, it's hard to say that this one, it seems like, is like, oh, it's good, or they fucked it. Like,
it really, yeah. And I mean, overall, I am liking it. Like, my issues have just been like, I don't feel like immersed in it yet just because of the pacing of the intro, but I think it looks great. I think it's fun to play. I like the world and the story elements that I've gotten so far. So, yeah, I am going to try and like push through and hopefully. From what you've said, Adam, it feels like it's pretty close to where I'm at, that it's really opening up.
Yeah, I think I was already clicking with it a bit more, though, than it sounds like you are at the time. So, like, I was kind of just in it. Like, it got me with whatever. I'm into the overall story. So, like, the moment-to-moment kind of, like, maybe some of the characters are less interesting isn't bothering me because I'm keen to see where this goes.
Right.
And I'm enjoying everything I'm doing along the way, honestly. So, like,
I'm just happy to walk around it a bit more because it looks so stunning.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if I only get another few hours out of it just doing that.
I think safest thing to say is that if you really liked the first one, this one is probably better than that one and is doing more of it at least. So, like,
I don't know. I think it's added a lot of bloat and unnecessary stuff. Like, there was not so much climbing and platforming in the first one.
The first one had an awful lot of bloat to it, though, as well. Yeah. Like, there was a lot of, it's easy to look back and remember the high points, but that was my big problem with the first one, was this same thing that you guys are saying about this one. Is like, right. It was too much, too dreary, too long to get to the thing that you had to do. Then it wasn't interesting when you got there, and it all felt like kind of generic stuff, and I wasn't super into the combat. And I've completely found the opposite with this one for whatever reason.
Yeah. All right, well, go down to Blockbuster and give it a rental. Yeah. See what you think.
Play it on the little, play on the PlayStation 5, they have in store.
Yeah.
Where the controller's sort of like, you know, screwed into a little
thing.
Post
up for 7 hours.
The rubber is like rubbed off of the joystick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that is going to do us for this week on Filthy Casuals. Head to filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all the other stuff we do. The show is on Patreon. You can support us on there and get a bonus episode every week.
Oh, yeah.
We also have the videos on YouTube, heaps of them up there. We've got our Detroit Become Human Let's Play that's coming to a close.
Yes.
We've also got our new side podcast, Hollywood Phonies, where
yes.
we riff out the plots of the fake movies that are in the background of real movies. There's 3 episodes of them up now. Go check that out. And if you're enjoying it, give it a little rating. We'd
yeah.
really appreciate that.
Share it with a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got shows in the Comedy Festival, comedyfestival.com.au, Chimp Cop, your guys' show, and also my show called Turtle Island. Heaps of stuff to plug. We'll see you next week. We'll be talking Elden Ring.
Man, I certainly fucking will.
Yeah.
You better be ready to hear it.
Yep.
So they've changed the speed of the short sword attack to...
Thanks very much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
Do I need to have played Horizon 1 Bidden West and 2 Bidden West and 3 Bidden West before I play Horizon Zero Dawn?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.